All right, welcome to another deep dive where we deep dive. You know, we take all these amazing sources and we really pull out the good stuff, the key ideas, so you can really get informed and go deep without getting lost, you know. And today, we're diving into Dr. Robert A. Peterson's work on special revelation in the New Testament. And we're focusing on specifically some really crucial writings: Paul's letters to the Romans, Colossians, and of course, the letter to the Hebrews.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be a fascinating journey, exploring how the New Testament, particularly the incarnation of Jesus, really reveals God's attributes and his plan in ways that are just so powerful and so new.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like getting a clearer picture of God than ever before. So Peterson starts off, he starts by highlighting Colossians 1:15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. When you read that, you know, in the context of this deep dive, what's your immediate takeaway?
You know, what really strikes me about Colossians 1:15 is how forceful it is. You know, it doesn't just say Jesus shows us God, right? It states that he is the image, the invisible made visible.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you've ever struggled with the question, what is God like?
Yeah.
Well, the New Testament's answer is look at Jesus. It's like the invisible God putting on a human face, you know?
Wow, yeah. It's a profound concept.
It is.
So, if Jesus is this definitive image of God, what are some of the things about God? You know, some of the specific things that become clearer through Jesus? Because Peterson mentions that this reveals many of God's attributes. So, where does he kind of take us next to really see this in action?
Well, he takes us to Romans 5:6-8 to really unpack the depths of God's love. And I want you to think about this for a second. Paul's saying here, Christ didn't die for the good guys. He didn't die for those who had it all together. No, it was while we were weak, for the ungodly, and while we were still sinners. It's just mind-blowing, right?
Yeah.
This isn't a love that waits for us to clean ourselves up. It's a love that dives right into the mess. Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost scandalous, this idea of a love that doesn't depend on our worthiness. And Peterson makes this beautiful connection to 1 John 4:10. He emphasizes that God made the first move. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and gave his son.
Exactly. And that's the key right there. It's not about us striving to earn God's affection. It's about his initiative, his desire to connect with us. And Peterson also points out in Romans 5, you know, how God reassures us of this love,
Yeah.
not just through scripture, but through the work of the Holy Spirit within us and even through the challenges that we face.
Yeah, he talks about how even suffering, right? Even suffering can actually, you know, in a strange way, can produce endurance, which, you know, builds character and leads to hope. It's like God is taking those tough things, those tough times, and he's using them to strengthen our confidence in him. So it's not that the suffering is good, but that God is good in the suffering.
And precisely, it's about seeing God's hand, even in those difficult chapters, you know. He's refining us and he's deepening our trust in his promises. So we see this incredible love, right, reaching down to the undeserving. But then this raises a question, right? How does God reconcile this immense love with his perfect justice? Peterson takes us to Romans 3 to explore this very tension.
Yeah, that is a crucial point. You can't really talk about God's love without considering his justice. So what does Romans 3 tell us about God's righteousness, you know, in light of Jesus?
Right. So Peterson reminds us that Paul's main point, his core message in Romans, especially in those opening chapters, is about revealing God's saving righteousness. But first, he lays out, you know, the problem. He lays bare humanity's sinfulness and God's judgment against that sin. And it's like he's showing us the problem, right? Our brokenness. So we can understand the magnitude of the solution. Then in Romans 3:21, we get this turning point. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law.
Apart from the law. I feel like that phrase is so significant. What does Peterson unpack for us there?
Well, he explains that this righteousness isn't about following rules perfectly, right? It's a righteousness that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. It's a gift made possible God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And here, Peterson really illuminates two key aspects of the atonement: redemption and propitiation.
Okay, so let's touch on redemption first. Peterson kind of briefly summarizes it as being freed from spiritual slavery through Christ's death, and that results in us belonging to God.
Yeah, that's a helpful summary. You know, it really speaks to our liberation. But Peterson really focuses on propitiation in Romans 3:24-26. And it's the key, he says, to understanding God's righteousness. What's fascinating here is how the cross reveals both God's love and his justice at the same time.
Yeah, propitiation. That's a word that, you know, can be a little bit tricky, a little bit of a stumbling block for some. So how does Peterson explain it in a way that helps us connect it to God's righteousness?
Well, he helps us understand that God, in his holiness, cannot just ignore sin. His justice demands a response. Our sin, you see, creates a debt. There's a conflict with God's righteousness. And propitiation through Christ's sacrifice is how that conflict is resolved, is how God's justice is satisfied, so he can offer forgiveness without compromising his own nature.
So it's not about God being appeased in any kind of negative way.
No, not at all.
But his justice being addressed so his love can then flow freely.
Exactly.
So the cross isn't just... It's not just this demonstration of love, but it's the very act that satisfies God's justice.
That's right.
Which then allows him to righteously forgive us. And Peterson mentions that in the past, you know, through the Old Testament sacrifices, God had, in his forbearance, he passed over sins. But it's like those sacrifices were pointing toward the ultimate sacrifice, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Those earlier sacrifices, they were temporary. They never fully dealt with the problem. The cross of Christ is the definitive answer. God doesn't just sweep sin under the rug. You know, through Christ's death, God's wrath against sin is born. And that's what satisfies his justice, allowing him to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus.
It's this amazing picture of God's justice and mercy meeting at the cross. And Peterson also highlights this concept of imputation, you know, our sins being placed on Jesus and his righteousness being credited to us. It's like this divine exchange.
Yes, it's the great exchange. Christ takes our sin. We receive his righteousness. This is how God can declare us righteous while remaining perfectly just. Now, Peterson then moves on to how the incarnation reveals another key aspect of God, his wisdom. And he points us to Ephesians 1:7-10. What stands out to you there?
Well, in Ephesians, it feels like the focus kind of broadens to God's overall plan, right? Yeah. His mystery of his will, as Peterson calls it. So this isn't just about our individual forgiveness and redemption, but it's also about this grander purpose that's revealed through Christ.
Exactly. Ephesians highlights that through Christ, we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins, all according to the riches of God's grace.
Yeah.
Right. And it doesn't stop there. This grace is lavished on us with wisdom and understanding, revealing this mystery, God's plan to unite all things in Christ, both in heaven and on earth.
It's this beautiful, unified vision. And this mystery, while it's fully revealed in the New Testament, wasn't totally absent from the Old Testament, right?
All right.
Peterson points to Romans 16:25-27 and suggests that it was hinted at in the prophetic writings, but then fully brought to light through Christ and the work of the Spirit.
That's such a crucial point. God's plan wasn't a last-minute decision. It was part of his eternal purpose, foreshadowed in the Old Testament and made clear through the incarnation. It's about this cosmic reconciliation, a restoration of everything broken by sin. And it goes beyond just individual salvation.
Peterson even mentions Romans 8 and this idea that our redemption as believers is just the first fruits of this future complete redemption of all creation. It's huge.
It is. Yeah. It really is. God's wisdom isn't just about rescuing individuals. It's about his comprehensive plan to put all things right, to bring about a renewed creation under Christ's leadership.
Mm.
Finally, Peterson turns to the letter to the Hebrews. And he describes it as this masterpiece in showing how the New Testament revelation through Jesus surpasses everything that came before. What are some of the key insights there about special revelation?
Well, Hebrews really makes this powerful argument that God has spoken definitively through his Son, who is superior to even the prophets and angels who mediated the Old Testament revelation. And Hebrews 1:2 states it so clearly, God has spoken to us by his Son. Jesus is presented as the ultimate and final word from God.
Exactly. And Hebrews argues that Jesus isn't just another messenger. He is the message in its fullness.
Mm-hmm.
And Hebrews 1:3 gives us these incredible descriptions of Jesus as the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature.
Yeah.
What did those images tell us about God's revelation through his Son?
Well, the radiance of the glory of God, Peterson uses this analogy of the sun and its rays. And the rays, you know, aren't the sun itself, but they perfectly reveal the sun's light and power. And it's just this beautiful way to understand how Jesus, you know, being distinct from the Father, perfectly reveals the Father's glory. And it connects back to Colossians and John, you know, about Jesus making the invisible God visible.
Exactly. You can't see the sun directly, right? But you experience it through its rays. And similarly, Jesus reveals the glory of God in a way that we can comprehend.
Mm.
And then the exact imprint of his nature. Peterson uses the image of a coin and a die, right? The coin bears the image of the die. And it speaks of this complete equality and perfect representation of the Father and the Son. So Jesus isn't just similar to God, he shares God's very essence.
So both of these images in Hebrews 1.3 reinforce this central idea that Jesus is the ultimate, you know, the clearest and most complete revelation of who God is.
Absolutely. And Peterson highlights Hebrews 2.14 to 18 lead to show the power that's inherent in this revelation through the incarnation. By fully sharing in our humanity, you know, in our flesh and blood, Jesus overcame the one who held the power of death, the devil, through his own death.
So this is about Jesus stepping into our shoes, right?
Yeah.
Facing our greatest fear, death, and conquering it. And Peterson links this back to the idea of freeing us from the fear of death, echoing those themes we saw in 1 John about overcoming fear through God's love.
Yes, through his death and resurrection, Christ not only defeated death, but also liberated those who were held captive by its fear. The incarnation, in this light, demonstrates God's power to defeat our enemies, sin, death, and the devil, and to deliver his people from judgment and the dread of it.
So as we bring this deep dive to a close, Dr. Peterson's work has really powerfully illustrated how the incarnation of Jesus Christ is truly the pinnacle of special revelation. You know, through Jesus, we see God's love and his sacrifice, his righteousness satisfied at the cross, his wisdom displayed in his plan of redemption, and his ultimate power, you know, demonstrated in the defeat of death. It's all there, interwoven in Paul's letters and in Hebrews.
Yeah, and these New Testament insights offer an unparalleled understanding of God's character, his plan for humanity and all creation, far surpassing anything revealed beforehand.
This has been a truly eye-opening exploration. And as we finish up, here's something to really consider. Reflect on how this understanding of Jesus as the visible image of the invisible God changes how you approach knowing God and relating to him. Think about those implications of God's justice and love being revealed, you know, simultaneously and completely at the cross. It's a truth that just unfolds the more we contemplate it. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.